From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of February, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, we'll catch up with the folks at the Andersons to see what's been happening in the cash grain market. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, I'll update you on what happened last week during the Ag Forum in Washington, D.C., and the state of the Agricultural Union as it's recognized by the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
One of the people that be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana is Kurt Kimmel. He is from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us now to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
So a couple of things. You'll not only be at the Beef House next week, but you and I are headed to Terre Haute tomorrow for an event. So we'll be talking down there at the Poet Ethanol Plant. Thanks for joining me for that. And folks that are in that area, if you've already been invited, you'll be able to drop in and we'll have Sherman Newland and Wayne Nelson and you. That'll happen in the morning. And then I think at least two, maybe all three of you actually probably will be over at the Beef House next week. And looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, that Beef House meeting is always a nice meeting, a historic event to be at, actually, because oftentimes we get some market-changing news during that time window or else market-changing change in trend for corn and beans. So not only that, but also, too, the analysts that you do have there, you know, they pump out some fairly good ideas to work off of for the crop year, so wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah, so we're in year, well, let's see, this is it started in 91, this is what, 18, so we're in year 27, I suppose, or thereabouts. So we've had a lot of years under our belts there. You may have heard about other events where it cost a whole lot of money to go to them, $500-$600, and they put the same number of analysts up front. We've done this for a long time. The analysts that you hear on WILL, more than a dozen of them will take up some changes that have been happening in the way commodities are actually marketed, some changes that have already taken place in the CME group and that are proposed for the CME group, and then the Section 199A, and if there's anything that's up to date on that. We'll also talk about dicamba, and Eric Snodgrass will kick us off that around 8:30 a.m. Central Time with a look at the weather forecast. That's the one that's been driving the market all winter long, in particular because of the lack of rainfall in Argentina. The markets went up again today, at least in the soybeans, but they couldn't hold those gains. Do we know why that was the case today, Kurt?
Well, there's still moisture in the forecast, per se. The forecast, you know, continues to show a chance, but when that chance comes, it just, you know, doesn't materialize. It's just, you just can't get a lot of moisture in the dry areas as a whole. It's still, you know, 2 weeks out on that. But two, we got some things that's developed here. One, we had option expiration here last Friday. That kind of evened things up just a tad bit. Also, too, we've got month end occurring here this week. Then lastly, we got first notice day on Thursday or Wednesday morning, that is. And I think most of the weakness was in the March up front here as the trade kind of lightens up and takes a little profit for say. Deliveries, they're looking for about zero meal deliveries, zero wheat deliveries, 300 to 500 contracts of corn, 500 contracts of beans, and about 1,000 contracts of bean oil. Once we get those deliveries out of the way, the market should be able to find some fresh news to go on from there. Probably the thing we've got to watch is the spread activity, the old crop lost ground to new crop, and that popular July-November spread could be in a position here to take profits here for a day or two, also going to end of the month. So the market's a little overheated. RSI values are at the upper end. Stochastic values are kind of rolling over in through here. We do have some cyclical lows due here next week, so it might be a time to sort of maybe take a look at making some catch-up cash sales in through here and look for maybe a slight correction here until we get a new forecast.
I have not heard this yet, but is there chatter in the trade yet about when they feel like they'll have most or all of the Argentine crop problems put into the marketplace? We're getting closer to the end of their growing season, so I'm wondering if and it is a futures market, so I'm wondering when you feel like that might be built into the marketplace.
Well, that's a great question, because the bears, the ones that want it to go down, say it's already built in. The bulls say we still have another 2 weeks yet, so it depends on your position. But from an agronomy point of view, Argentina production cycle is a little later than the Brazilian cycle, so we actually feel as we move into the second week in March, most of that should be built in. Also, too, we're seeing Argentine start to secure some beans elsewhere to help meet some of those commitments they might be short on producing for their export market. Then too, oftentimes when we start to get a little closer to harvest, the producer starts to make some additional sales when he gets a little bit more comfortable where he is on production. So I'd say if we do see this thing hold together, it's probably about another week or two, and that could be it for now.
We haven't talked a lot about the corn crop there. Is there a reason that's the case? Because we usually focus on the soybeans. Is that just me, or is that the trade in general?
Well, no, it's basically the beans caught front and center, because that's the most dynamic and most noticeable. But actually, some analysts believe the corn crop being more damaged than the beans at the present time. However, you're looking at maybe the bean crop being towards 40 to 42 million metric tons, kind of worst case scenario. Corn down to 31 to 33 million metric tons, but it's not a big corn producing area. And also, too, the urgency to get corn coverage isn't quite there yet, because we have ample supplies here in the U.S. and domestically and all around the world. So there's plenty of feed grains around to take the edge off just for the shortfall in Argentina.
And finally, the cattle and feed report came out on Friday afternoon. It was kind of ugly. Did that translate into the marketplace today?
Well, I think it gave a little bit of a soft tone in through here, but we've been looking at some larger numbers for quite some time, 7%, but overall demand continues to remain robust. We're seeing the cash fats actually trade here at this 128 area, which is encouraging. As we move on into April in here, we can maybe soften up just a little bit, but we feel there's awful lot of demand to absorb the big meat numbers coming at us as we move into this spring.
Yeah, I'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning for our trip south to Terre Haute and the Poet Cloverdale Ethanol Plant area for our meeting in the morning. And then, of course, we'll talk with you again next week, too.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will join us on Tuesday of next week. That's the 6th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, for our all-day Ag Outlook. You can, too, for just $30 online at willag.org, willag.org, or 800-898-1065. In today's agricultural news, Politico is reporting that the NAFTA talks taking place in Mexico City this week could hinge on whether the U.S. Trade Representative is willing to work with Canada and maybe some offers from Mexico after the fall rounds ended in an impasse and pessimism, with the Trump administration blaming its counterparts for refusing to engage. Negotiators finally seemed to take a step forward back in January in the aftermath of the Montreal round, when Canada in particular began floating ideas for the first time to respond to U.S. priority issues like auto rules of origin and a 5-year sunset provision. However, it appears if the United States is unwilling to compromise the goal of reaching a deal at all, let alone by the end of March, seems unlikely. One bad omen for the NAFTA deal occurred last week when the presidents of the United States and Mexico came to an impasse over the border wall, and the Mexican president decided to simply cancel a trip to Washington, D.C. Well, let's stay in the Capitol, where President Trump has scheduled a meeting with cabinet officials and key senators to talk over potential changes to the nation's biofuels policy. The renewable fuel standard is coming under increasing attack after a bankrupt Pennsylvania refinery blamed its troubles on the regulation. The meeting comes as two of the more powerful lobbying groups, the oil and corn ethanol industries, continue to clash over the future of the RFS. A Reuters report says Trump's engagement on the issue may reflect the value of protecting jobs in a key electoral state. The meeting is scheduled for tomorrow. It will include several officials, such as Oil Patch Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, as well as Corn State Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst of Iowa. One source told Reuters that the meeting will focus on keeping Philadelphia Energy Solutions in business. The company is asking a bankruptcy judge to eliminate nearly $350 million of its current RFS compliance cost, which is owed to the Environmental Protection Agency. Another source says the discussions will consider capping the cost of biofuel credits and allowing ethanol blends to be sold year-round. You may learn more about this event on our website and some potential fixes that have already been put in place. Just look for Scott Irwin's commentary and thoughts. And finally today, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue walked a tightrope while talking with reporters about President Trump's budget proposals that agriculture was not enamored with. One of the proposals included cuts to crop insurance. AgriPulse says Perdue is making strong statements in support of the program as it currently is. One of the largest cuts in the Trump budget proposal is to crop insurance. The largest cut would save $22 billion over 10 years by slashing premium subsidies. Perdue told reporters at the Agricultural Outlook conference held last week that crop insurance is a very, quote, viable part of the safety net and that Americans get a good deal on subsidies for the program. Perdue did not say directly that he tried to talk the White House out of the budget cuts. However, he seemed to when he told the reporters, while it would be inappropriate to disclose private conversations, Perdue says, we were advocates for the American farmer. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, do buy your tickets for the All-Day Agricultural Outlook. That's coming up next Tuesday, just a week and a day away. If you haven't picked them up yet, now's the time, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Just call in right now, or you can go online at willag.org. The cost is $30. We'll have a dozen analysts there, and we'll take up several topics, the whole agenda online as well. You can buy your ticket right now. This is a signature event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We open the doors at 8 a.m., start at 8:30 Central, and we'll be done before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a quick day over at the Beef House. You'll get your coffee and roll in the morning and your lunch. Don't delay right now to sign up for those tickets and purchase them online, willag.org or 800-898-1065. Now up next, you know, USDA officials painted a pretty grim picture of conditions in farm country at last week's Ag Forum in D.C., with one set of numbers driving home why commodity prices remain so low, with very little relief in sight. USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansson told the Ag Outlook Forum that he expects net farm income in the United States to continue to fall or remain flat in real terms for the long term. But perhaps nothing in Johansson's presentation brought home why that's expected, more than one specific set of numbers.
Look at this. Since 1960, soybean production has increased more than 1,000%, while real soybean prices have fallen by 47%. It's just amazing.
Soaring farm productivity has also taken a huge bite out of corn prices.
Corn production has grown by more than 400%, and prices have fallen by more than 60%. What does that mean? Well, here we show real net farm income falling in real terms. It's likely to remain 50% below its 2013 peak for a third year in a row.
Net farm income this year is projected to be a paltry $59.5 billion. Johansson says more demand around the world from a growing middle class, especially in China, trade deals, weather, and other factors could change the farm economy trajectory. Global purchasing power is increasing, and that will raise demand for U.S. livestock and dairy and the grains and oil seeds needed for their production. On that note, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue addressed the Ag Forum last week. Gary Crawford reports he put forward a state of the Agricultural Union.
This is an important outlook where we talk about really kind of the state of the Agricultural Union.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue opening up the USDA's annual outlook forum, and he frankly said the current state of the Ag Union is what he calls troubling.
Farmers, ranchers are facing pretty serious challenges these days. Commodity prices have fallen while the cost of operations have increased. Farm income is projected in 18 to be down another 6.7%. That's not a path to prosperity.
However, Perdue said farmers can weather this storm, and he says there are reasons for optimism over the next few years.
There's good working being done with regulatory reform, the advancement of international trade, and building access to a dependable workforce.
Perdue said there's the Presidential Ag and Rural Prosperity Task Force at work, plus the $200 billion Trump infrastructure proposal. In that, the Agriculture Department would be allocated a fourth of those dollars to do work in rural America. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is here. She's with the Andersons in Champaign County to talk about the cash grain market. Hey, Amy, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so over the last week, what have farmers been doing, old and new crop corn and soybeans?
Yep, so we've had a lot of catch-up sales being done on old crop corn, stuff that's in DP, open storage, or basis against the March. A lot of that's been getting cleaned up on this rally, people rewarding the market. Some old crop that's still been sitting out there, people have taken advantage of on that, on this bounce here. Not a lot of new crop being sold yet on corn. I think we're 15 to 20 cents away from having a lot of movement there. Of course, the $4 cash mark is where a lot of people have their sights set. So we're a little bit away from that here. A little bit's getting sold, but nothing to speak of by comparison to old crop corn. Old beans are being sold here. Again, stuff that's got charges on it. And even stuff that isn't, looking at that $10 range, people have been satisfied with that and getting some beans sold. We've been buying some new crop beans too. We're at $10 cash on the money here across the scale for next fall. So I have been buying a few new crop beans as well.
What do you think basis looks like going forward?
We've actually stayed steady here. Even though compared to previous years, it's not necessarily anything terribly exciting, but basis has definitely held its own, especially with this rally in the futures market nearby and for new crop as well. So I would say we'll probably continue on that trend, especially as we get towards April and May when guys get busy in the field.
Does it surprise you that basis didn't weaken in the process, at least for new crop corn and soybeans?
A little, although, really new crop basis levels at this point are a little more speculative since there's not a lot of trains getting sold for those fall months yet. So that might be what has helped keep people aggressive here at this time. I'm a little more surprised about the nearby basis having held where it's at. So that's a good thing.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Amy Sage. She is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Buy those tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook. Hey, things are heating up in the marketplace, and you need to come over to the Beef House. That's next Tuesday, not tomorrow, but the following one. It starts at 8 a.m. Central Time, 9 o'clock in the morning in the Eastern Time Zone. We kick off a half hour really after that, so show up for the coffee and the rolls. That's part of the $30 fee. Your lunch is too at the Beef House, really all-inclusive, and we'll have more than a dozen analysts. Make sure you get those tickets now at willag.org, willag.org, or 800-898-1065. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, what a beautiful day it is. I walked across campus today just because the weather's fantastic. fantastic. I think tomorrow's going to be beautiful too. But we should start in South America, where Argentina has had a lot of sunshine and a lot of heat and not a lot of rainfall, and things are pretty dire there, I believe.
Yeah, and really, as we've gone into February, that's where we've seen the most significant decline in soil moisture due to the lack of significant rains right in the core of acreage, along with the warmer than normal temperatures and some heat waves that have occurred across the region. As we look out through the first half of March, it looks like more of the same, not quite to the magnitude of what we've seen over the past 30 days, where rainfall has been either less than 50 or even less than 25% of normal across the core acreage. But the pattern will still feature below normal rainfall totals over the next several weeks. There will be some opportunities, but those opportunities just don't look that favorable for widespread significant rains. In fact, our specific forecast coverage of rainfall this week and next week is only about 30 to 35%. So there'll be some minor relief, but again, not enough to significantly improve the situation here coming up.
In Brazil, they've had a better time of it. In fact, they're in the midst of harvest, depending on where you are in that nation. How's that going?
Well, things are going pretty well in Brazil. And the bottom line is that as we go into March, it looks like more of the same, i.e. favorable weather will continue, even within the areas where they're harvesting. Rainfall totals don't look excessive, so we're not anticipating any kind of bog downs in harvest progress, or for that matter, the logistics and getting soybeans either on the road to the river systems or even onto the port there in the Atlantic. There's just no sign of any wetter than normal patterns that would really bog things down here coming up.
In the United States, we have certainly had parts of the nation where things have been truly wet. Tell me about them and what you see next week.
Yeah, it's really been eastern, southern Midwest, down through the Delta, extending back towards the plains, not encompassing all the plains, but that's been the wettest area over the past week, where rainfall totals have been 6 to 12 inches, even some isolated heavier amounts. That has helped to shrink some of the dryness across areas of the plains hard red winter wheat belt, especially in areas of like central Oklahoma, but there still remains a good swath of core winter wheat acreage in southwest Kansas, and that does extend into the Texas Panhandle, where rainfall here continues to be very, very low. And for example, the past 30 days, rainfall or precipitation totals have been 10% of normal or non-existent. So that continues to be an area to watch, especially since we don't see much in the way of any significant rain here coming up in those areas from now through the first 10 to 12 days of March.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.